Praise the Lord. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. And we know he said, lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the earth. Thank you, brother, for that testimony of Gideon. I was a little caught there on smoking Leviticus, but that was good stuff. That needs to be a book title or something. But hallelujah. What a blessing. What a great testimonies and challenge. And later in the service, we'll take an offering for the Gideons and everything that they do, and what a blessing they are. In fact, we'll do this. If you're a member of the Gideon camp here in North Carolina, would you stand? All the Gideon members, if you would stand. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand for all those that serve in this area. Praise the Lord. And their wives. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Gideons and their wives do tremendous work for the glory of God. Philippians chapter 4, if you would, this morning, the first message of a new year. And Philippians chapter 4, as we look at this this morning, our theme last year, you'll recognize it, was through Christ. And I was praying about this Sunday, and of course next Sunday is Vision Sunday. And I've got a theme and a message laid out from the Word of God, and we're excited about what He's going to do. But the Lord led me back to the book of Philippians, and gave me a fresh message. I believe this is for us from the Lord as we lay a foundation for 2018. Philippians chapter 4, as we look at the entire passage this morning from verse 10 through verse number 13, I'm going to ask you if you found it, if you're able, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Philippi. And he says in verse number 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I ever speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And with that context in mind, let's quote verse number 13 together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's say that one more time. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Thank you for standing and may be seated. Sometimes people focus on the part of this that has to do with ourselves. I think it was Evander Holyfield or Holyfield. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't follow that much. But I believe I was on his boxers. He'd have Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Or I can do all things. I think it was Tim Tebow that put that under his under his eyes as he painted it. Philippians 4:13. And sometimes this statement, this verse can become somewhat trite as it's used out of idea of what the Lord laid out for us. But this thought of through Christ isn't some kind of a rabbit's foot. It's not some kind of lucky thing that you say, I can do all things and go and do it. This is a promise from the Word of God. This is something God has laid out for us. If you look at this idea of through Christ, it's not only found here in Philippians. This thought of through Christ is found throughout the Word of God. It's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. The Apostle Paul says, in such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Our faith, our trust, our belief is through Christ. Over in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It's through Christ that we have a relationship with the Father. It's through Christ that we have been made joint heirs with Jesus. I don't even know all that means, but what an amazing thought. We're not slaves, we're not servants, we're sons, we're children of God. And that is only possible through Christ. If you look over in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, Apostle Paul again says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's through Christ that one day in the ages to come, can you imagine just for a moment eternity? Everything that God has prepared for us, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He's revealed it to us through the Holy Spirit. We have favor through Christ. One day He will show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness will be shown unto us through Christ. I've got a mansion on the hillside through Christ. I've got a new body. I've got a new home. I've got an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me through Christ. Not through my works, not through my righteousness, but through Christ. But it's here in the book of Philippians we find this phrase, through Christ, more than any other place in the Bible. And it's really not as much to do with favor. It's not as much to do with faith or family relationships as much as it has to do with finding strength in times of frailty. In fact, the phrase through Christ starts back in verse number 7 of the book of Philippians. Did you notice what it said? And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In times of pain, in times of stress, in times of depression, in times of difficulty, in times of trial, in times where there is no peace to be found anywhere through anything, there is peace to be found through Christ. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. You can't define it. You can't even begin to describe it. It's through Christ that He gives a peace, and it guards our hearts. That's what we do. It guards our minds. That's what we think. Through Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for the peace that comes through Christ? But it's here, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul again says, in times of trial, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Our life groups have been going through the book of Philippians these past several months. And as a reminder and as a idea of what the book of Philippians is all about, I want you to remember and think about who Paul was. Paul was this apostle. Of course, we know him as a preacher. We know him as one who traveled throughout the known world and gave the gospel of Christ. But if you look through history, we know that Paul really wasn't much to look at. In the book of Galatians, he speaks about something with his eye and how when they saw him, they felt so bad for him, they wanted to pluck out their own eyes to give to him. He was one that history tells us was short in stature. He was stammering in his speech. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. Here his reputation was that the letters were weighty. When he wrote, hey, that was pretty interesting, but his bodily presence was weak. He couldn't speak well. He couldn't present well. I said last week he was one that would preach all the way to midnight. Someone fell out dead. You know, he was someone that he didn't have that excellency of speech, but he said, I came not unto you in man's wisdom. I came not unto you in excellent speech. I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and power. But here's one that wasn't much to look at. He wasn't much to listen to. His past life wasn't much you could learn from. He was a persecutor of Christians. He would kill Christians. He'd be a religious extremist today, a terrorist, so to speak, as he hunted down Christians and he took their lives. He says, I count all that but dung. Here's how he described his past life. I'm not just a sinner. I'm the chief of all sinners. That's Paul's life. Here's the Apostle Paul. Not much to look at, not much to listen to, not much to learn from what he has experienced in his past life. But this one could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not only think about who Paul was, think about where Paul was. When he wrote these words, his hands were cuffed, his legs were shackled in a Roman prison cell. The condition of that cell could only be described as pure filth. Keep in mind, he's writing this book. He's not on some vacation. He doesn't have it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. He's not surrounded by family and friends. He's not experienced the success as the world may describe as success. He's not surrounded by money. He's not surrounded by wealth. He is imprisoned for preaching the gospel. He's in an underground prison outside of Rome, Italy, this place where described as the rats would have been as big as the house cats there. Can you imagine that? Prisoners would eat bugs to keep from dying from hunger and starvation. They had no water, so often they would lick the moisture that came from the rock to keep them from dehydrating. They sat and were shackled in ankle-deep waste. If you moved, you slopped around in bacteria and filth. It was darker than 1,000 midnights, and the only light they would have would be from some generous jailer to allow them to even write this. I read somewhere that skeletons of past prisoners would often float through the septic river beneath his feet. That's where he was. And I'm glad this morning, it didn't matter who he was, it didn't matter where he was. He may have been shackled and in chains. Here is someone that is imprisoned. Here is someone that is locked down. But under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he was able to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That encourages me this morning. Hey, that challenges me this morning, because this one who was the chief of all sinners, who wasn't much to look at, who wasn't much to listen to, who wasn't much to learn from, is someone who was locked up and on lockdown. If he could say, I can do all things, you and I this morning can declare, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm glad Philippians 4:13 is not some promise for some superhero Christians. It's a promise for every one of us this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because it's not a verse about you. It's not a verse about yourself or your situation. It's a verse about Jesus. The whole theme, the whole part of the verse is this: through Christ. Now I want us to review this verse. I went back fresh. I believe God has something for us to build from today, what He wants for us this Vision Sunday. It's through Christ. Notice, first of all, keep in mind, remind yourselves, the spirit of our ability. You notice what He said in the first few words? He said, I can do. I want you to say that out loud with me. Say it. I can do. He had a positive spirit. He said, I can. He had a productive spirit, not I can think about doing. Not I can plan to do. He said, I can do. Positive, productive spirit produced results. Henry Ford was one who said, success starts with I can. Failure is certain when we say, I can't. The Apostle Paul said, I can and I can do. Keep in mind, it's not about him. It's about the Lord Jesus. But he understood who he was connected to. He had a positive, productive spirit. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, no man can soar higher than he is able to think by the grace of God. I think about Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. There's several verses that you'll hear over and over again here at Tabernacle. Ephesians 3:20 is one of them. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He can do what we ask, he can do what we think, and he can do exceedingly above that, he can do abundantly above that. Listen, that's an amazing truth from the Word of God. I can do, the spirit of our ability. This phrase, I can do, is one word in the original. It's translated in Acts chapter 16, verse 13, 19, verse 16. Do you remember those seven sons of Sceva sent to try to cast out the devil there of that one possessed? The Scripture said that that one overcame them. That's a strange comparison, but it's the same word. You could translate it this way. I can overcome all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Later, a few verses later, more of a positive idea. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, it speaks about the Word of God prevailing. You could translate it this way. I can prevail over all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Over in James chapter 5, verse 16, even better. Do you remember that verse that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? It's that word effectual. So today I can effect all things. I can be effectual in all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This word do is a word of strength. I can do. It's a word of power. Here's what he's saying. I have power to do what God wants me to do. In this new year, what have you convinced yourself that you can't do? Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's a ministry. Next week, as we talk about Vision Sunday, we talk about a ministry fair. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I can do that. I don't have that ability. I don't have that personality. I don't have that time. I don't have that talent. I can't live for God. I can't read the Word of God. I can't get rid of that sin and surrender that sin. I can't spend time in Scripture. I can't win a soul. I can't tithe. I can't go on a mission trip. And guess what? You're right. You can't do it without Christ. But through Christ, you can say, I can do. Maybe it's physical. There's a goal that you have for your life. I think of whatever it may be this morning, we need to have the spirit of the Apostle Paul saying, I can do. In Exodus chapter 3, God appeared to Moses and said, I heard the cry of those in bondage. And he says through the burning bush in verse number 10, come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He calls Moses, he commissions Moses for a task. And what does Moses say? I can't do. Moses, who was the meekest of all the earth, had a specific temptation. In that meekness, he didn't have the strength that came through Christ. And he said, who am I? He said, what can I say? Moses says, they won't believe me. Then he says, I'm not eloquent. Now, Hebrews corrects that and says that he was a mighty man trained in word and deed. So he was actually trained in speech. But he says, I had no confidence. He said, I am not eloquent. He says, I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He said, I can't. But God said, I am that I am. Never say I can't to the I am. God says, what is in your hand? I'll put it there and I'll do something with what you have in your hand. He says, who made man's mouth? I love this passage, Exodus 4, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? You say you can't speak? I made your mouth. I made your tongue. Who maketh the dumb and deaf for the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Friend, don't ever say I can't to the I am. And God gives gifts and God pours out spiritual gifts to His church to accomplish His purpose. God will enable you to do what He's called you to do. Stop magnifying your limitations and your weaknesses and start magnifying an omnipotent God who can do all things. I read somewhere and I adapted this, but it's true. There are many that could have made excuses about not being able to do what God wanted them to do. I think about Moses. Moses said he stuttered. Remember David? David was too young and went there to put the armor on. It didn't fit. Nobody wanted him. The family said that he was someone that was out there for wrong motives. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a harlot. Amos and Elisha had training only as farmers. Think about that little boy. He only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How could he have thought of anything as he brought it there to the disciples? John had been burned in oil, banished by himself. He could have thought, my ministry is over. Jacob was a liar. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Solomon was too rich. Gideon was too poor. Jonah was just too washed up. Peter was too afraid. Josiah was too young. Abraham was too old. And listen, Lazarus was too dead, but God had a plan for their life. Every one of them was guided by a hand of an omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, immutable, unchanging God. And God was able to do what they could not do. Friend, this morning, you're not just another number. You're not just another face in the crowd. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a workmanship of Almighty God. God loves you. God cares for you. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. There's a plan for your life. And I want to remind some today of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. You know what God is thinking about you today? It's not judgment. It's not punishment. The thoughts that God thinks towards you, it says it's thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. God has a plan and purpose for your life. So anybody, everybody can say, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can say, I can do. The spirit of our ability. It was too, the scope of our ability. Look at the phrase, look at the verse, I can do. What's the next 2 words? All things. That's shouting ground right there. I wrote down in my notes, holler glory right here. Glory right here. And I didn't really write that down, but hallelujah. Glory. All things. All right. What are the all things? A good definition for all. All means all. And that's all means. Paul didn't say some things. He didn't say most things. He said all things. In fact, this word is so emphatic in the text. If you go to the original text in the Greek, it's in the first position. When the Greeks wanted to emphasize an area, they would put it first. Literally, it's this. All things I can do. He gives me the power to do all things. Now, specifically, Paul is speaking about trials. All things I can endure trials. Here's what he said. I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Think about your basement. The word abase means low. He said, I know what it's like to be at the lowest of the low. I have learned to be content even when I'm low, even when I'm down. I have learned to trust God and I can do all things even when I'm down. even when I'm out. And I know when I'm abounding. I know when I'm full and I'm hungry. God, He's given to me something and I can do all things no matter what. I can endure all trials. I think of the Apostle Paul in his time of suffering, in his time of difficulty, was reminded of Romans chapter 3 and how he said, "And we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost given unto us." I think maybe he thought over to Romans chapter 8 when he wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For those He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that He might be a firstborn amongst His brethren." What he's saying is this: there is a purpose, there is a plan, there is a conformity. So in my time of trial, I'm going to trust God and say, "I can do this, all things, because God has a purpose for this. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He's saying, "I've learned to handle the good times and the bad times. I've learned to handle the times on the mountain, the times on the valley. I can endure all trials." Here's what he's talking about. He's saying, "I'm talking about being filled or going hungry. I can do all things in times of abundance or material things, in times of suffering, material need, in times of confusion, in times of chaos." He's saying, "God has given me strength to go through all things, all deprivations, all difficulties in this world, all times of prosperity. I have the ability to deal with any kind of material circumstance because of what He does for me." And anybody today can say this: "Hey, listen, we can go without food for a while. We can do all things without comfort. We can do with all things without warmth. We can do all things without freedom. We can go without care. We can go through pain. We can endure danger. We can endure persecutions. We can endure suffering. We can endure threats. We can endure what's happening on the inside because there is someone who is strengthening us on the inside." And when we're going through down points in our lives, when we're at the end of our rope and our resources, we begin to understand that there's a God who is strengthening me. And that way you can face tomorrow, whatever happens. You're either in a trial, come out of a trial, or about to enter in one. And when you find yourself in that trial, you can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Every one of us will face temptation. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All of us will face temptations. So Paul's saying, "I can endure all trials. I can endure all temptations." And I like what he's saying. "I can endure all tasks." Speaking to the church at Philippi and speaking about his responsibility and their responsibility of caring for him and doing all these things for him. But he's saying, "Listen, at the end of the day, it's God who's got me, not just you. God has me." Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he lists out all of his trials and all of his persecutions. And he adds this to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 28. He says, "Beside those things that are without, hunger, stripes, beating, being shipwrecked 3 times. Besides all that," he says, I've got something that comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Task, what responsibilities do you have? Some of you are going through some trials and temptations, but you're a parent, you've got responsibilities. Some of you have a ministry responsibility. Paul had the care of all the churches. I got care of one church, and I know how hard that is. He says, "I can do all things through the trials, through the temptations, through the task that he's instructed me and he's entrusted me with." Through Christ, you can do all things. Not just the spirit, the scope. Look at the source of our ability. It's found in that phrase, "I can do all things through Christ." I want you to understand this phrase because the word "through" is interchangeable with the word "with," the word "in," the word "by," and the word "with." Here it is. I can do all things in Christ. I can do all things by Christ. I can do all things with Christ. Who is Christ? He is the anointed one. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the name Lord refers to His ownership. He is in control. He is the sovereign God. He has ownership over all. He is the Lord. Amen. He's not just the Lord, He is Jesus. That speaks of His objective and how His name would be called Jesus because He would do what? He would save His people from their sins. He's a Savior. So He's Lord. That's His ownership. He's Jesus. That's His objective to save. But when you come down to the word Christ, that's not just His last name. It speaks of His operation. He's the prophesied Messiah. He's the anointed one of Israel. He's the perfect prophet, priest, and king who would come to rule, reign, and redeem His people. That's what Paul is saying. I can do all things through Christ. See, in this time frame, those that were ordained and those that were chosen as prophets were anointed with oil. Those that were chosen as priests were anointed with oil. Those that were chosen as kings were anointed as oil to sanctify them, to anoint them and serve them. And it pictured that there would be one that would come that in His perfection would be a perfect priest, would be a perfect prophet, would be a perfect king. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I have the anointing, I have the ability, because there was the Christ who came who has all ability. Speaking about the one who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations. That's the one. And friend, today, that's the anointing that we have through Christ. See, it's back in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul says this, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Understand this morning, our ability is not our ability, it's His ability. Our anointing is not our anointing, it's His anointing. And friend, it is unlimited. Can we just review for a while? There's a reason why the Lord wanted me to preach through the Gospel of Luke, because if we can do all things through Christ, let's look at the things, all the things that Christ went through. Do you remember everything that Christ went through, what He did in the book of Luke? Think about it for just a moment. He did so many things. You see, and He suffered temptation like none other. Remember, He was tempted of the devil. What did He do? He rebuked the devil and He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is written. Hey, Jesus faced temptation. I'm glad today that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. If you're enduring temptation today, don't say, I cannot have victory over that temptation, because He giveth us the victory. And this morning, if there's a trial or there's a temptation, understand there was one who conquered temptation, who is victorious. And it's that one that looked at the devil and said, get thee behind me, Satan. That you have the ability today to say, that sin, that stronghold, I'm a surrendering that by the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Think about how else what Christ did in the Gospel of Luke. He endured hardship. He endured persecution. He did so much in ministry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. He walked on water. He cast out demons. He fed the multitude with the loaves and fishes. He preached. He taught. He healed. He suffered. He served. He bled and died on the cross of Calvary. Was raised from the dead. Amen, Pastor Shakur. That's good preaching. Amen. He's alive. Christ did the impossible. He was risen from the dead. So if Jesus could accomplish the impossible, it is that omnipotent God that is within us that we can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You can save all your shouting for the ball game, but hold my mule for just a little bit, because there's a God in heaven that said, greater works than these shall he do. Think about it for just a little while. The God who did it all, the one who had all power given unto him in heaven and in earth, the one who was raised from the dead said, greater works shall these do that will believe on me. Listen, that's a promise you can count on. And that doesn't mean you go to a waterfront and say, all right, Jesus walked on water, I'm going to run. That doesn't mean that lunch today you take the loaves and the fishes and you go, all right, here we go. Whew, start passing it out. But it doesn't mean this. Whatever He has called you to do according to His will and according to His word, you can do. You see, Philippians 4:13 makes no sense without Philippians 2:13. Would you turn back there? Philippians 2:13 says this. According to the word and will of God, you can do all things. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I like Bob Jones Sr. He said this. You can do anything that you ought to do. That's good, isn't it? You can do anything that you ought to do. If he calls you to it, he'll call you through it. Faithful is he that calleth you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Who also will do it. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Look, finally, which strengtheneth me. That's the strength of our ability. You see, he could have stopped that through Christ. But there's a person in the process that he wanted to draw our attention to. The pronoun which, our translators chose the word which because in a sense is ambiguous because it points to the person Christ and it points to the process. You being yielded to his word and to his will. That's when he strengthens you. Buckle in. This is why I preached the message a second time because I went, how did I miss that? You know, I'm looking forward to, I'm going to let it break. All right, next week we're going to announce how we're going to two services. Hallelujah. Not next week. Next week is not two services. That'd be chaos. See, that's why I present things. Think about it before I say it. Sometimes this year, we're going to go to a service. I can't wait because, you know, every time I preach something, when I'm done, I'm like, man, I should have said that. Actually, mostly I'm saying I shouldn't say that. Shouldn't have said that. But I preached this the start of the year, and I went, how did I miss that one? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's a process. When we're yielded to his word and to his will, he gives us the strength to do what he wants us to do. Amen. The word strengthen means to put power in. It means to infuse with ability. Hallelujah. That's what he does. He infuses us with ability. Here's a man in a prison cell locked up and on lockdown. I can do all things. Can you imagine how that jailer must have laughed at him when he read that? You can do all things? Really? You're in prison. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which process in person strengtheneth me. Literally, it's this. I can overcome. I can do. I can prevail. I can be effectual. I can affect all things through Christ, with Christ, by Christ, in Christ, who is constantly infusing his strength in me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Do you not know this? That's what he's saying. That the everlasting God, the God that has no beginning, no end, that God, the Lord, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth. Have you not heard? Have you not known that he fainteth not? He never gets tired. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Google's got nothing on God. There is no search. It is unlimited. Okay, I wish we could just unplug ourselves from this whole world and our own finite understanding and our own weak, small way of thinking and get above that and see the God of heaven. The God that is everlasting, the God that created the ends of the earth, the God that spoke all things into existence, the God that sustains and strengthens and it can, all things consist by him and through him. That's Christ. Amen. He says he giveth that God. Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the faint. Wow. That God gives to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and grow weary. You put those young kids out in the sports field, they're going to need a timeout left a little while. Even the young folks, they get tired too. That's what he's saying. And young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, waiting upon the Lord is not going, all right, do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me, oh do Lord, do Lord, oh do remember me, do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me, way beyond. That's not what, see, I said I was going to sing a special in church one of these days. All right, whenever God wants to do it for me, I'll wait on him. I'm waiting on him. What are you doing? I'm waiting on him. You're going to start that ministry. I'm waiting on him. You know, he said, go. He didn't say, wait. He said, go. We have all resources at his disposal. The word wait in Hebrew is not boom, 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 boom. The word wait is the same word to serve. All right, can I teach this for just a second? After service, you know, at 12:50 or something. You go out for lunch. You go down to the Garden of Olives like every good Christian. And you order something. And what's that person that comes to your table? He is a waiter. She is a waitress. Now, if that waiter or waitress just kind of sits around and says, you know, I'm going to wait until they get up and do their own thing, get their own food. And, you know, whenever they make up their mind, you know, maybe I'll come around and, you know, I'm just going to wait on them to do something. And I know some of y'all, somebody here is going to look at that. If someone doesn't wait on you and serve you and get going, some of y'all are thinking this, you ain't going to get no tip just sitting there, Suge. Get up and get going and get me my food. You see, when someone is actively attentive to your will and what you want them to do, that's when things happen. And when you connect the will and the word and do something, that's when the tip goes up. Amen. This is what he's saying. When you're serving, he'll give you strength. When you're struggling, he'll give you strength. When you're tired, he'll give you strength. When you have the ability to, when you don't have any ability and don't think you can do it, but you step out anyway, that's when God gives you the strength to do what he's called you to do. When you're facing the impossible, he gives you strength. He renews your strength so you can walk, so you can mount up with wings as eagles, so you can run and not grow weary, so you can walk and not faint. God gives equal strength to every emergency. That means someone today does not need to go to God and say, all right, take away my burdens. That means ask him to give you strong burdens to carry, strong shoulders to carry that heavy burden. Amen. Close with the story of Harland. You may have heard of him. Harland was a salesman for Michelin Tire. He lost his job and the plant closed. And at the age of 40, he had to start a new career managing a gas station. But the station also closed due to the Great Depression. He was around 50 when Shell Corporation offered him a job, but it's there in that job that he had to sleep in the service station. He had no money. And since he was there, he had to make some food and meals, and he found that people liked his cooking, and in fact, he made the best country ham and biscuits around. He retired at the age of 65, and he found his first Social Security check was under $100, and he said, I can't live off this. He said he was broke and only had a beat-up car. Really was under deep depression, even contemplated taking his life. But he found himself down an old-fashioned revival service, and the gospel was preached, and he heard for the first time that God loved him, that Jesus died for him, and there was a plan for his life. If he had simply come to Christ and be saved, and he came to Christ that day, he was born again by the grace of God. The preacher that heard would led him to the Lord. He remembers him praying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And suddenly Harland lifted up his head and said for the first time he ever experienced the presence of Christ within his heart. And he said, before I had no spiritual power, but because of salvation, he said this, I know I am right with God. I know my sins are pardoned. I think of that song, life has purpose now and never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For joy and peace I can't explain is mine since I found new Christ. My Lord, my life in Christ, my Lord divine. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. He had new life in Christ, and he says, now I've got a purpose. 65 years of age. But he said, I've got a renewed vigor, and I've got a vision for my life. He says, my life is not over. God wants something for me. He said, I'm not going to sit in a rocking chair and just let things go. He said, I'm going to do something. He had a recipe, and he went out, and he went throughout the country trying to sell his recipe. True story. He went out, and nobody wanted it. So he said, I'll give it to you for free if you just give me a percentage of the sales. He had 1,099 rejections and no's before he got his first yes. His recipe was for fried chicken. And with that success, Colonel Harlan Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken. At the time of his death, there was an estimated 6,000 KFC outlets in 48 different countries, $2 billion of sales annually. Listen, friend, God may not be calling you to start the next franchise or chicken factory, but listen, he's going to call you to win souls. He's going to call you to do something for him. It's not time to give up. It's not time to go back. It's not time to quit. It's time to go on in the same God who can save you from an eternity in hell for eternity. He can save you from whatever situation you're facing today. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I ask you, friend, what has been holding back? What fear? What anxiety? What past failure? What situation? Friend, today, go to God and say, listen, I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your strength. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Lisa's coming to play and sing a song this morning. This message was mostly for believers, but I wonder if there's an unbeliever this morning that say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You can't do all things through Christ until you receive Christ as your Savior. Say today, I'm not sure I'm saved. Oh, there is no power, there's no presence because we need Christ on the inside. Say, preacher, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand real quick? I'll see it. I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. Anybody at all, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. But I'd like to know how I can be saved. Would you raise your hand real quick? I'll see you and pray for you. I wonder how many today would say, preacher, I'm going through a trial, a temptation. I'm going through something in my life, some kind of situation. And Lord, my review this year from this theme is I'm going to go to the Lord fresh and say, Lord, I need your strength. How many would say, I'm like that one that is walking, but I'm growing weary. I'm running, but I'm fainting, and I need him to pour his strength upon me. I need to go to his word, find his will, and do it. So I can say I can do all things. Would you raise your hand today? Anybody like that today? Many of us, both my hands are raised every day. Just like Apostle Paul, we need to go to God and ask for strength. This is a new year. It's a new you from the Word of God. As the piano is playing, the song is singing, I wonder if you'd come and gather on this altar. Whatever God has placed in your heart, you can do all things through Christ. Whatever situation, whatever struggle, whatever sin, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I believe there's a grace, there's a kindness, there's a favor. There's an anointing and ability that the God of heaven, the omnipotent God who knows all, created all, is all. That's the one that can strengthen you today and give you the ability and anointing to do what he's called you to do. I can do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Thank you. omnipotent God knows your name. He knows all. He's got the hair of your head numbered. He knows everything about you, your beginning and your end. Just trust Him for today, and He'll take care of tomorrow. Amen? You believe that? That's what God's Word says. That's how the men come for the offering for the Gideons, and we'll close. Get you on out of here to wherever you're going to tell a waiter to get going. Now, don't give a small tip. I don't care if they're bad. Don't give a track with a small tip. You can grab another church track and give it when you go out to lunch. But if you get a tabernacle track, you're going to give a good tip. I don't care how bad they are. Amen. That's Bible right there. No, okay, hey, right. Praise the Lord. Amen. This offering's for the Gideons, and every bit of this would go towards the distribution of King James Bibles. Amen. Let's get that on record. All right. We're giving out to God's Word, and we're giving out to the distribution of all the Gideons in their area. One area before we close as well, you notice out in the lobby, have them have the leaders head out during that final song, but life groups are a big part of our church. Sunday School Hour at 9:45 is a major focus of our ministry here, the teaching of the Word of God, and there's many areas that we're looking at growing in, and if you don't have a life group that you're a part of, you're missing out on a major part of ministry here. And we just strategized this morning on some fellowship activities and service opportunities. Our theme next year will be connected through our Sunday school of going out and doing what the theme is. And so there's some projects that each class will be putting on and doing things of service in the community. So you don't want to miss out on being part of a life group. There's one that meets here this is a summit class. That means you reach the top there and you're keep on climbing. So you've got the summit class and they've got over there the journey class. Those are middle-aged or so. And then you got the navigators class. Is that correct? Navigators are a little older, middle-aged, but are there. And, of course, we've got the young adults, the Ryan. So young adults leader, is Brother Ryan here this morning? There he is right in front of me. All right. If you say a brief word, they'll be seated. How about that? And he'll brief word about the young adults class, and then he'll pray for the Gideon offering.
All right, I'll be quick. 5 selling points on the bridge class, the young adults bridge class. Number one, people that come over to Wilson Christian, they like these small class size. We can offer a small class size right now. We want that class size to grow. So there's number one. Number two, friendly people, us. Number three, donuts, coffee, and juice. I should have made that number one. Number four, opportunity to meet new people. And number 5, the opportunity to grow in your walk with the Lord with people who have a common bond in Christ. Now, we have a special get-together on January 26th at our house, my wife and I house, my house. But you have to come one of the next 2 weeks to find out what our address is. So you can't come to our house unless you come one of the next 2 weeks. And this is for you, Pastor. You can do all things like come to the Bridge Sunday School class through Christ, which strengthens you. Men, if you stand. So we would love for you to come. If you're a young adult and you don't have a class that you currently go to, please come join us. We're right here, this room right next door. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have in Christ to live for you. Lord, we thank you so much for sending your Son to die for us, to be born this season that we just celebrated. Thank you for the many testimonies that are given about Gideon Bibles that have been passed out, many lives that have been changed because of your word. Lord, it's not the people that give them out. It's not anything but you and your word. We thank you so much for sending Christ to die for us. We ask that you'd help us to get plugged in, to get involved in this church. Thank you for the many things that are happening here. I ask that you give wisdom to the leaders here, to Pastor Shakur. Lord, give wisdom to our leaders here in the United States. Protect our freedoms. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. We ask that as each of these Bibles are sent out, the money that is given, that as those Bibles are sent out, that you would protect them, that you would even hide them from those that would seek to destroy them, that they would get into the hands of those that would need them most and that would be able to read them and come to you and come to know you as Savior. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the cold weather, and we thank you for the warmer weather that's coming this week. Thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together. To God be the glory, great things He has done.